everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio, a show featuring people and companies who are making a positive contribution to the world. This show will help you learn how to apply success principles in every area of your life so that you can make the most out of your skills and talents and accomplish more of your goals. To find out more about the show, please visit www.journeytosuccessradio.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio. My name is Peter Gorrell, and I'm your guest host for this evening's show. You can read more about this show at journeytosuccessradio.com. My current job, I'm Senior Vice President of Client Experiences with TechBlox, a company that's designed to help organizations of all sizes prepare themselves for the digital world. An example of what we do is build self-serve portals that empower our clients' customers, allowing them access to information they'd ordinarily struggle to get through the traditional channels, such as call centers. Our very special guest this evening is none other than Dr. Dorothy Adamiak.
Hello, everyone.
What was that?
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Dr. D, as she's known to her friends and patients, is a licensed naturopathic doctor. She's an author, a speaker, and a lecturer. She has nearly 20 years of clinical success treating diabetes, cardiovascular pathologies, and chronic inflammation. Besides holding a doctorate in naturopathic medicine, she also holds postdoctorate specialties in acupuncture, classical homeopathy, homeotoxicology, oh, that's a hard one, and bioregulatory medicine. Dr. D lives and practices in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Thank you, Peter, very much. You did an excellent job. I'm glad to be with you.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Now, I mean, you know, there are people, obviously, in the audience that, I guess there's some believers and non-believers in alternate medicine. The reality is you really are a doctor, because I know for a fact that you still have to study that pre-med, and then you still do a 4-year degree in naturopathic, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Peter. You know what? It's glad that you have mentioned that. You told me before, or maybe I grabbed it from Mr. Google, that you have people and listeners from about 3,000 different countries.
Correct.
So we cannot assume that naturopathic medicine is the same everywhere. And, you know, a lot of people, and a lot of people in the States and Europe and in different parts of the world, they do believe that natural medicine or naturopathic medicine is close to witchcraft or shamanism. And in many countries are. This is where naturopathic medicine or natural medicine is not regulated. It's enough to pick up a flower, look at it, and yeah, I'm going to heal you of everything. But in different parts of the globe, like here in Ontario, we have a very regulated and strict professional rules. In fact, naturopathic medicine is mirroring education of a medical doctors. And we have extremely high privileges here. We can diagnose and treat, write prescription, do blood work. We can do gynecologic exams, intravenous acupuncture, you name it.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're absolutely right, Peter, that we are primary healthcare physicians here in Ontario and many different places. But the lesson for every single listener who is out here is that do not assume that naturopathic medicine is whatever it is in their countries or in their places, because it might be different depending on what's the meaning in a specific country for the specific person.
Yes, yeah. And the reason it's obvious that you probably to yourself, but the reason I raised that question is for you to, I wanted some clarification, because I know that there's always a lot of naysayers.
It's a lot of controversies and a lot of people bickering, like, is this right, is this wrong, is it valid, it's not. So it all depends where you're coming from, right? What's the meaning behind the name?
Now, Dr. D, did you always want to work in this space? I mean, you know, what attracted you to this?
No, completely. I was an absolutely normal child with no aspiration whatsoever. I was raised and brought up in Poland, and my mom only has 8th grade, and my father is a surveyor, so there's not much hope for me. And I was just absolutely normal until I was 4 years old, and then the major viral infection struck me, and I ended up in the Polish equivalent of the SickKids hospitals. I ended up with having a transfusion and, you know, you name it. After several months in there, I was no longer kind of normal. I was retarded. I had a floppy head. Nobody wanted me. So my mom, she was into nutrition, whatever she knew. She brought me up on homemade broths and raw eggs and carrots and all, you name it. And she brought me back up. And then I kept on having these infections, bacterial infections, sore throats, antibiotics. You know, I got to know the pharmacist very well, and the medical doctor was my best friend too. But it was going on and on. And then as a younger female, I ended up having even worse problems. PCOS, for females who know it, it's polycystic ovary syndrome, female problem. Constipation, varicose veins, you name it. The varicose veins were like, when I was 17, I was, my goodness, I looked like an old lady already. And wow. chronic fatigue. But I didn't know anything about it. It was just normal, you know, living in the normal family not that very rich country where people are just going day by day. You don't know you're just meant not to have a chance in life, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. At that time, Poland was going through a very tough economic time. And one day I packed up the bags, ended up in Italy. Fast forward 1.5 years later, I ended up in Canada. Only then when I ended up in Canada, I realized that I am kind of like off a little bit when it comes to productivity and energy. Here, people had jobs, families, they entertained themselves, they had goals, and I didn't. So I ended up with quite a few medical doctors that they looked at me. You know how you do it. You do the blood work, you know, how are you and everything. So every one of them said, you're fine, the blood work is fine, you're normal. And somebody suggested that maybe I'll go on antidepressants. And I thought, oh, my God, this is not good. So I started research, go on, and fast forward, and I ended up becoming a doctor myself.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the story.
That is an incredible story, and there always is. I find that there generally is. There's always something.
I just had a need. You know, nobody could do it. So I said, I'm going to do it myself. So I
there you go. So now that actually is a very bold statement. You know, like I'm growing up. I'm sick. Nobody can help me. I better become a doctor so I can fix myself, right?
Well, there was no hope for me. My parents already said so from the get-go.
Oh, my Lord. Now, okay, that leads me to, obviously, and I'm sure the audience is thinking the most obvious question. Okay, Dr. D, did you actually discover something to help yourself?
Well, I went through the process of the naturopathic medicine. It did help me, but I am a little bit ashamed to say that I didn't cure myself at that time at all.
Oh.
You know, it took me at least 5 years to realize that my initial enthusiasm was when I came out from school and I want to fix everybody. I want to fix myself. This is the protocol for chronic fatigue. This is the protocol for blood pressure. This is the protocol for diabetes. Now, let's do it. And, you know, the longer you live, the longer you realize that it sounds good on the paper, but when it hits the reality, it's not so. So I had a major disappointment with this, that the doctor should know everything. You know, I thought when I become a doctor, I'll know. And it didn't work out that way. It only many years later when I tried to put together things like different, that's why I ended up going into homeopathy, psychology, detoxification, this and that, to put everything together. And then, you know what? One thing became clear for me. All these protocols, all these pills that have been given, they are helpful, but they are helpful only for a very short time. You know how you take the blood pressure pill? It's only good until the next day. But the same thing with vitamin C, whether it's natural or not. You take the vitamin C, and as long as you take it, it's good. It's working. If you stop taking, it's not working. So one thing became very, very clear to me. Health is a skill. It's not a pill. You just have to know what bugs you.
I was going to ask you about that because I read that quote. That's directly from you too, right?
Yes, it is mine.
I was going to say, boy, oh boy, that is quite a statement. It's outstanding. I've got to tell you though, I do admire your ambition, you know, even as a young person, like thinking, I want to fix the world. I want to fix everybody, right? As well as myself. That's very admirable. And I think most successful people that you read about and that you ever hear about, you know that it's never been an easy path. There's always been obstacles and there's always been adversities to overcome in order to put themselves in a more advantageous position. So you sound like you've been through it.
You know, I think that what helped me is my being very naive when I was coming from Poland. I thought I'm going to, oh my God, if I do this, then this is what's going to happen. And I was absolutely convinced, and it was so naive that I really went through all that grueling things just to realize that actually that's helpful, but that's not everything. And if I knew ahead of time how much work it is, I don't know. I don't know if I managed to do it again, because when I ended up in university, I was not 19. No, I was close to 30.
Oh, right? Wow.
So it took some time. It was a very hard decision for me because I wanted to do any shortcuts. And, you know, knowing that I am kind of aging and a lot of people are already past university, and to me, as a incomer to Canada, you have to write TOEFL and, you know, the proficiency test.
Right.
And it takes time. It takes a year and then another year. And as I don't have time for this. So you know what? I was bold enough. I ended up in York University. And they said, I'm sorry, but you have to write TOEFL, the exam for proficiency of English. I said, do you understand what I'm saying to you?
And
I said, that's good enough, isn't it? And it was a little bit longer discussion, but they
I know what you mean.
Yeah, go ahead. So it saved me a year, you know. So this is how I tried. And I tried to say, don't take more than one course because you don't know what it is. I took five all at the same time. It's because I was extremely pressed for time because of the time that I have lost back in Poland.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm telling you, just judging from, you know, your presence here, you sound like you've got a really good bedside manner. And I think there are people who would rather have an upfront conversation with their doctor today than a lot of mumbo jumbo. So kudos to you for just your openness to even talk about the things that have affected you and how you come up through the ailments.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. And you know the lessons that I have through all that these question marks that I had through many years that I was going through. There's so many lessons that I have learned. I want to actually share it with your listeners. So if you allow me 2 minutes, maybe I'll go over it.
Oh, what? I would absolutely love that. And I know that that we've got listeners intrigued now at this point and just probably sitting at the edge of their seat waiting for the next thing you have to say.
Yeah, because you see, the whole thing is, it's about productivity and realization you can be better than you are. When I realized that, when I came to Canada and I realized, oh my God, how far behind I am, this was my motto. This is when I realized I want to move forward. I just want to catch up at least to an average, right? And with that momentum, I just went like a torpedo. And I'll tell you, when it comes to health, it's the same thing because I needed to upturn all like a soil, upside down everything that I learned and experience and remove and detoxify myself from the understanding of what should be versus what I can do. And I realized the thing, nothing is random. You know, you go from a doctor to a doctor, nobody knows, it's genetic, da-da-da, but right. nothing, absolutely nothing is random. You know, I realized that my low energy had causes, and my low energy was absolutely flat. My first job in Canada, I was a waitress, part-time, not because
wow.
it was... Not because there wasn't any jobs and they didn't want me full-time. No, it's because I couldn't handle full-time. I had it 3 times a week, I think 5 or 6 hour shift, and that was enough to wipe me off. But, you know, I had to persevere. I had to do it. 18 hours in a day, I was sleeping, and all I did is wake up, eat a can of beans, go to work, come back, eat a can of beans, sleep. And
oh my
that was my life. So until and a medical doctor, when I go to a medical doctor, said, we don't know, we cannot find out, all your blood work is fine. So I decided to look for causes, and that led me to areas like, okay, maybe nutrition has something to do with that. Maybe stress. Maybe there is environmental pollution. How is my microcirculation? How is my acid alkaline balance? What about inflammation? Do I have any? Do I have any antioxidants? How about microbes? Microbes in the gut, microbes outside the gut. There's so many causes that are not generally addressed. And the minute I addressed it, I realized how much more there is. I'll tell you an example. I had just recently a very simple example. A woman came with a low thyroid, and low thyroid is an epidemic. It's called hypothyroid. And you know, all women in their 40s or 50s, they start having low thyroid. Nobody knows what and why mm-hmm. and how. And it's not saying that that woman represented the totality, but she comes in and she said she's on Eltroxin. It's a pill that replaces the missing thyroid hormone in the body.
Right.
But she wanted to kind of get off. So I said, okay, let's check how the thyroid, whether at least thyroid has enough nutrients to go by. So we did hair analysis. And the hair analysis will show you minerals, different minerals in the body, whether you have calcium, magnesium, selenium, etc.
Yeah.
And it turned out that she was completely low in selenium, completely low, like non-existent. And thyroid cannot work without selenium. It just cannot work. It won't work. It's like you don't put the fuel in the car, you don't drive. That's it.
Right.
So, you know, you put the pill. Actually, that was a necessary pill for her, and that was the story of low thyroid.
I love how you've taken the. I like how you take this almost a forensic approach to evaluating your client.
Well, she didn't die.
She did. Of course, she didn't die. But the reality, like you dig down deep in place, you know, and take a look at. Maybe at the thing that's not the most obvious. Maybe that's what's unique about your specialty. I don't
know.
I'm a lay person talking to you.
Yeah,
I'm extremely intrigued by all of this. You know, the one thing that really hit me is you're talking about health and productivity in the same in the same sentence.
Yes,
and it's something that I deal with every day.
Yep.
On a business perspective, you know, when I think about productivity, I think about businesses that want certain things from people. However, in order to get good productivity, there has to be a condition,
mm-hmm.
and that condition has to be progressive and it has to be healthy. And it's interesting that I find I'd love for you to talk about how you see the relevance of health and productivity in your practice.
Well, even for myself, because this is how I ended up. It's for me there was no life or job. I couldn't have a job better than just part-time waitressing if
right.
I didn't fix my health. That was just simple like that. But after the first degree, it was actually business. I was quite interested in productivity in offices for health, and it turns out. For example, people who have got migraines, they won't tell you, you know, but their productivity goes down by about 38% when they have a migraine just because they don't think straight. So people don't realize how much health affects productivity because they are accustomed to the state they are in. But if they do know how to check their own health, they will realize then whether they are in the ballpark, below, or above.
Wow. No, that's fantastic. Now, you're an author, and I understand that, what, maybe just a couple of days ago, you've actually published a book on this very subject of blood pressure and productivity.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
That was, this is a book totally about productivity, but I have disguised it as a book on blood pressure. Clever, huh?
I love it.
The title, and I titled it The Ultimate Guide to Low and Fluctuating Blood Pressure. And it will look to whoever is looking at the front cover that it's a very small niche book, like somebody who has got low and fluctuating blood pressure. The thing is that it's completely not. This is a productivity book. Now, when you think that anybody who has a heart, I mean physical pump, who has a heart must have blood pressure. It's true?
Right.
Right. And do you know that blood pressure is never steady? If you keep on checking your blood pressure and it's always the same,
that's a problem, right?
That's a problem. Go to hospital right now. So the blood pressure fluctuates all the time. But depending how it fluctuates, it can give you productive or unproductive time. Just think about it. Yeah. That blood pressure is a medium for oxygen because red blood cells carry oxygen, right? And the oxygen is that what makes you energy.
Right.
So depending how your blood pressure fluctuates, you will feel on top of the world or you're going to lie flat. But if you don't know what your blood pressure is doing on a minute-to-minute basis, how are you going to fix it?
Wow. So you're suggesting, in a sense, because I know I go in, you know, I visited Shoppers Drug Mart, and they have the machines where you actually, you know, you stick your arm in now, and anybody can go get a reading. But I usually see that it's the older generation that are doing that. I don't see young people doing that.
Exactly.
Are you suggesting that this is something we should all do?
Oh, you know what? Because of my journey towards my own state right now, and people are asking me, you had chronic fatigue? What? But because of that journey, I realized that this is exactly the topic, that blood pressure and underlying how you feel is completely undiagnosed. This is completely new. I have dubbed into a completely new era of testing for health and how you feel. For now, everybody tests and uses the blood pressure monitor only to check hypertension, which is high blood pressure.
Right.
But that's not it. I will show the reader how you can how you can use blood pressure monitor as a health measuring tool. So you can check it at specific time of the day, let's say when you're tired, when you are having sex, when you're eating, after you just slept, and watch what's happening in your blood pressure, because your blood pressure will tell you about various different areas of your body, not only the heart, also nervous system, and even can tell you if there is any diabetes coming through, right? So there are a lot of things that you can really tell by checking the blood pressure, not because you're afraid of high blood pressure, but because you really want to be healthy.
Interesting. So in a sense, your book helps the reader and it guides them through some activities. And obviously, I'm hoping maybe some solutions better about themselves.
Totally. I have a few examples. You want to know how you...
Yeah, that would be great. Actually, give us a couple of ideas, a couple of images, if you can. Create a couple of images in our mind.
Sure, okay.
What to look for, and then how to repair ourselves, or at least how to remedy ourselves a touch.
Okay, so let's say somebody who has never checked the blood pressure goes in and checks it at the different times of the day and looks, and there is a top, bottom, and the third number. So for those who have never seen a blood pressure monitor, there are always two numbers, the one that is on the very top and it says this is the maximum pressure. There is the bottom, which is the minimum pressure, and there's a third one that nobody looks at, and it's a heart rate.
Okay.
So when you're checking it, and let's say, okay, right now I'm going to put the blood pressure monitor, my blood pressure cuff on myself and check it out. And the normal blood pressure, which is being set to be normal, it's 120 over 80.
Okay.
Okay? And let's say I don't see 120. I see 160. What does this mean? How does this affect productivity? Well, when this happens, and that happens frequently, that means somebody is extremely nervous, and the nervous system does not catch up with the physiology, which means you will be forgetful, unfocused, you will be mumbling, fumbling, forgetting, you'll be shaking, you'll be losing things, and you'll be dropping things on the floor.
Wow.
When you check it and when you realize you have frequently elevated blood pressure during stress, you have to do something about your stress because your body doesn't handle it, and that really affects you.
Yes. So when you are in a stressful state, the max goes up? The max number is inclined to go up? Is that what?
See, the better you handle stress, the less it goes up. You can set up, if you are an employer, you can set up the test during the interview and pick up the one that can be a firefighter. In the middle of an interview, he will not raise the blood pressure by 1 point.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that would be a practice that I see many people taking on, but they're probably thinking about it, the fact that you've raised it now, that's for sure.
there are many different things. For example, if you have the top is high and the bottom is low, let's say 160 and the bottom is 60, there's a big gap between.
Yes.
And that's consistent every time you check it, it's always
right.
Like that. What does this mean? Well, this is frequently related to cholesterol blocking arteries.
Uh-huh.
So you can test ahead of time without angiogram, without being subject to invasive procedures, to actually check yourself whether there is a problem. And how does this affect productivity? Well, if your brain is clogged up, you're not thinking straight. And if your bottom parts are not, they are clogged up, your wife will tell you very shortly.
Yeah,
when it comes to productivity at work or at home, you don't want to see these weird numbers. So you want to know how the blood pressure should fluctuate at specific times, how it should behave, and if you see some early warning signs, just fix it. You know, for me, it was so simple. To me, my problem with productivity was that my blood pressure was constantly low and was not going up.
Yeah.
You know, how did I fix it? I was looking for causes. What were my causes? You know, everybody will have different causes, but they have to first find what is it that they have, if they have problems with blood pressure. And when I realized what was behind it, I have about 7 or 8 points that I have to remember about, and I practically added 5 productive hours to my day every day. That was just as simple. That was incredible. My day looked like that for a long, long time. I come back home, 3 o'clock, I am flat low. I am just so indisposed. I sleep for 2-3 hours. Then I wake up days, and I can't do anything. Hmm. And that was for many years until I discovered. So here are a few tricks. And some people who feel kind of low in the afternoon or maybe throughout the day, maybe they will pick up these tips from me, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't mean it doesn't work for you. It just means you didn't discover your causes. Number one, hydration. My brain doesn't work on dry. My brain is super sensitive. If I don't hydrate, you can even hear me slurring, not being able to pronounce. In fact, I went, when I was back in Poland, I went to a psychologist, and ask what's wrong with my speech. I thought there was a problem with my speech. I was incoherent. But only later, years later, I realized it's just a lack of hydration.
So you've got to drink more water.
Absolutely. Drinking more water, and for me, best is not just plain water. It's coconut water. It does tremendous things on brain.
Yeah, yeah,
it's incredible.
Well, you know, that I think that for any of those that, and I am a believer in a good physical health, mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, the people around me that in that particular area all suggest, you know, like drink lots of water, you know, maybe eight glasses a day if you have to, and because it helps so many other natural things to take place in your body, right?
Peter, I have to correct you a little bit.
Okay, you're
not
welcome to
everyone.
Do that.
Absolutely, you
are, after all, the doctor.
I know it's a prevalent view that one should hydrate, but there is a special group of people that is especially pertinent to this. These are young women. They are very health-oriented, typically vegetarians, that make healthy decisions. They don't eat junk. They drink a lot of water. They go exercise, and they don't feel good. They have low energy. They are very anxious. They can't sleep. Why? Because they do drink too much water for the amount of salt that they need. And the second point that I want to make is that you cannot just drink plain water if you don't follow with salt. If you, for example, have low blood pressure, and that's related to productivity, and no doctor will tell you you have low blood pressure, absolutely none. Everybody is focused on high blood pressure. And at the doctor, you're always excited, so that blood pressure usually goes up. So who is going to discover that you have a productivity issue due to low blood pressure? Nobody. So yeah. I have tons of these with young women, health-oriented, that they drink tons of water. They pee it out as soon as they drink it in. They say,
right.
What's happening? As soon as I drink it, I go to the bathroom. Well, this is what happens because you don't have enough salt. So I, for example, have to eat a lot of salt. So bacon is my friend, you know. And a lot of people they think salt is bad, but not for everyone. So you just have to really know how your physiology is. And these young women, if they will add a little bit of extra salt to their water or to their food, like eggs and salt,
right,
they will do so much better. And that helped me a lot.
One thing that I'm hearing, I hear you, and you drilled it home really, really well with me here, is that no two people are alike. It's obvious that, you know, that my physiology is not the same as the next person, and what's good for me isn't necessarily good.
Yeah,
there's no such thing as a mass medical silver bullet solution to anything. You do have to really take a look at yourself, is what you're suggesting.
You're so much right. You know, when I was going through these protocols in the school, we always treat diseases. But if you treat diseases, you prescribe everything, the same thing to people with the same diseases. But again, you have to treat people. One, it's more water. For the other one, it's less water, more salt, less salt, you know, this supplement, that. And then everybody can really get better.
So Dr. D, does your book help people kind of discover the type of, potentially, or at least guide them toward the type of physiology that they are, or is that not possible?
Oh, totally. It's extremely easily written book. It's not book for a cardiologist. It is book for an average Joe, everybody. Okay? And it's a very easy three-evening read. And what it does, it asks you to have a blood pressure monitor and check it at different times. And then whatever you discover, and there are a few tests that you need to do. You have to do it at specific time. You have to do it in a specific position. And then compare your results to what it should be. And then if it doesn't, then this is what the cause is, and this is the protocol and a bunch of tips and how you do it. And many people can discover a tremendous gaps in their health and very easy way to fix it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Could I ask you what your personal thoughts are on nutrition and health?
The nutrition, as a naturopath, we receive quite a bit of core nutrition in our training, and nutrition is a really mainstay of what I do.
Okay.
It is completely, it is the base of health. However, nutrition is so controversial because everybody is popping pills and they think it's nutrition, and that's not it. And it's not about also following a specific diet. I think the key to nutrition is to pick and choose food that is the least processed, because at that moment we have it, the most nutrients are there and the least garbage is there. And throughout my entire practice, I realized it's not about whether you eat carrot or you eat broccoli or dates are good for that. It's not about that. It's about whether your food is full nutrients, like organic or not, and whether it's processed or not. Big times. For example, and I have to tell you this because a lot of people asking questions. So bacon is good, bacon is not good. How's meat? Meat is bad. You know,
right.
WHO just right now said the processed meat is bad. So everybody is shunning meat and everybody becomes vegetarian. Is it good? Well, it's again about processing. There's something called AGE, Advanced Glycation Molecules. These are molecules that will, they are not processed by our bodies, and they are attaching themselves to organs, arteries. They just plug up. They create like a dirty old sewage in our bodies.
Interesting.
And these AGEs have been tested. So every food has specific AGE. And for example, avocado has 1,400 AGEs in 100 grams. This is just an example. And then bacon has 20,000 AGEs.
Ooh.
Right? But raw beef has 700 AGEs, which means half of the avocado. You see, it's not about the meat at all. It's about whether this meat is processed or not, because meat is extremely sensitive to heat. If you leave it raw, it is less toxic than vegetables and fruits. If you start heating it up, immediately it becomes toxic and creates these AGEs.
Yeah.
So it's not at all about being a vegetarian and plant-based diet is better for you. Not at all. It's
right.
about eating quality food and as close to unprocessed state as possible.
Interesting. I was actually, I don't know where, I think I probably came across it on the internet, because I was, you know, I'm on the internet quite a bit as from a research perspective. And I was actually quite amazed when they said that they actually named various foods and said cooked or not cooked, it was better or good for you. And tomatoes apparently are better when they're cooked versus
mm-hmm.
not cooked. And
true.
There were so many that conflicted with what I thought, right?
That's true.
I think that the audience probably is major confused about what,
yeah.
you know, what really is the value in being a vegan
yep.
over a normal meat-eating person.
Yep.
I mean, I'm a meat eater, I'll
mm-hmm.
be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I do like my steaks medium rare.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I like them on the undercooked basis.
Right.
And maybe
yep.
that's, you know, maybe something inside me is telling me that that's much better for me. And,
mm-hmm.
maybe that my own preference. But there are people who can't stand the idea of eating a rare steak, for instance.
I have a very, very unusual thing for you right now. Since you're talking about meat, adrenals. Adrenals is a gland, and that this is part of meat. This is, nobody eats it. It's not tasty at all.
Right.
It's not sold. It's given to animal feeds, and it's just not edible. No human wants it. But when I was a post-hospital vegetable, that's what I had a cravings for. My mom, because we were on food stamps at that time, my mom was extremely happy because we couldn't get meat. So I was eating scraps, and I was doing well on them. And
mm-hmm.
guess what? Today, one of the best ways to bring person up from a really major stress is to give them glandulars of adrenals. You know, adrenal glandulars are not really available in Canada. Health Canada has taken it away a few years back. But this is what we used to do when we had the opportunity to have it. They greatly. So this is like an animal extract. It really gives strength. I'm not trying to promote one diet over the other. I am a meat eater myself. I'm an older vegetarian, although I was vegetarian, being persuaded by nutritionists through my career. So
yeah.
I know how it feels. But no, in my practice, I see that people who eat variety of the diet, like various diet, do the best.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I you know what? You sound like you're speaking for both sides of the equation, because, and I think it definitely supports the fact that, you know, you there is no one such, you know, singular remedy for anyone.
No.
You have to evaluate the individual patient by patient, try and understand their physiology, if I'm getting it correct, and trying to understand what's needed in their system in order to remedy their current state.
But Peter, I don't want people to go to doctors, okay, just to get diagnosis. It's not like that. I want them to know where they stand.
Yeah.
So I give them the tools and the skills so they can figure out themselves, because the minute you get the diagnosis from the doctor, you're already off the health cliff. You're a ditch down, because right now, current system is not health-oriented, it's disease-oriented. So until you have a disease, it's like a binary code. If you have a 1, you have a disease. If you have a 0, you're healthy. But no, it's the health is continuum. It's from you're perfectly healthy to then to you're not so well, to your average health, to your poor health, and then you have a disease. So when your medical doctor tells you you have a disease, that means that you have gone through all these stages already. So with my book and my approach, I try to help people get these tools in their own hands so they can test it rather than wait until it's late.
Right. Now, I would imagine, and I'm not that, and I don't want to be too presumptuous here, is that, you know, you likely have conversations like this with people every day, and I would still think there are some people that look at you sideways when you say some of the things that you say, because it sounds controversial, right?
Oh, totally. You see, my current husband, he said he, after 7 years, he admitted, you know what, the things that you said to me first, they sounded wacko.
Yeah.
But now he's totally into it.
I wasn't actually thinking that, but, you know, the reality is there are people in our audience even right this minute saying, you know what, I've had enough of this. She's a quack or something like that, right?
Absolutely. I do. I do.
I mean, but you are so, I can tell, you are such a believer. You speak with confidence on this. You obviously have experienced a personal life-changing event through this kind of evolution that you had of yourself, from being ill and looking for alternative medicines and alternative resources to get better. So, I mean, I'm not suggesting that, you know, that everyone's going to, like, stand up and, you know, and drink your Kool-Aid, but the reality is you're living proof of you know, what you profess.
You can do, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
First is the awareness where you stand, then the awareness where you can be, and then you have to have a plan, and by plan I mean know what's going on, have information, have the facts before you even move forward.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, the one thing that, you know, I always look for nuggets in every conversation, and the one nugget that I pull out of this conversation with you, Dr. D, is I love the health and productivity equation. I'm all about that, because I think that is meaningful to a person, whether you're in business or it's just in trying to enjoy life, trying to just get on in the world, right? So I really, really like your conversation around that particular topic. Now, where is your book? I mean, how can people actually get a hold of a copy of this book? Maybe you'd let us know.
Sure. The book is on Amazon. It has two versions. One is a Kindle version, which is just the text, and the other one is interactive. And by interactive, I mean I really put an effort into my video clips explaining how certain things have to be done. And there are about 17 different fridge charts, which means you can download and put it on a fridge, and they will guide you through certain things, how to eat and which foods, etc. And there are about nine links to health tools, like which, for example, blood pressure monitor you want to have if you don't have. And there's also few links for further reading that leads to my blog. So Amazon.com will have it, and Kindle will have also another version. But Kindle doesn't have the interactive. It's only the paperback version that does.
The interactive sounds really interesting in the fact that there's, you know, there's something to get involved in. And I think I can tell you from my own personal experience, because I work in digitization and digital transformation, is that user experience is everything. So if you can get your audience interacting with you, then it's it's far superior.
It's so much personal,
yeah.
More personal. You at least see the face, who this person is, moving.
Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah, no, for sure, absolutely.
In my clips, I don't wear white coat. I actually don't wear white coat ever. And somebody will ask me. I said, Dad, do you think I'm going to be a better doctor and write better prescription if I put my coat on?
Yeah.
You know, I like it very friendly and being down to earth.
Yeah. Now, I guess there's times where you do prescribe medicine, right?
Yes.
That be classified as traditional.
Yes.
Right. So is your practice a combination of both, or do you look to help your patients first with the alternative efforts, or what's your approach?
For every patient, I have to have a good feel what I can do with them. So it means if I can do a lot, I set up a trap for them. First, I send them on a journey for self-discovery. They have to write journal on what they eat, and we go from there. Once they demonstrate that they can actually, because about 80% of the problems stem from poor eating or poor timing of eating or who knows what it is, I have to discover that. And if they show me that they have some kind of a commitment, I come in with my magic wand, okay? Yes. Yes. Yes.
Said it, I didn't. Okay.
So a combination of the patient understanding and taking initiative and me doing some magic and potion and thing, it works wonderful. But that's the core cooperation between two of them. It's never like you come and I give you something and off you go. This is, if you want this is, I'm not for you.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I develop perfect relationship with patients, and yep, that's already visible on the first visit. If they come back,
yeah,
we are in. If they don't come back, means, they don't want me because I have a different approach. They cannot handle it.
Yeah. This is such an intriguing topic. I think, like, you've got me hooked. I could probably sit around and talk with you all night about this. But I just caught the clock on the wall that says.
We've been
running along here and for a while, I don't just want to let you go at this time. What I'd like to hear from you is, because I know that our audience probably want to hear more about you and maybe even talk to you directly. So if you could take just the next minute or so and let us know how to get in touch with you, where to find you, your contact information online, etc., and that would be fantastic.
Sure. My blog and my clinic are under the same name, except one has a .com and one has a .ca. And it goes like that. DR, it's an abbreviation from a doctor. D, abbreviation of a Dorothy, which is my first name.
Right.
So DRD, naturopath. And now you have to know how to spell naturopath. If you do know, bonus. So drdnaturopath.com for a blog, drdnaturopath.ca for the clinic, and from then you decide what you want to do. We have a Facebook page, which are very personal, and my clinical approaches as well as my nutritional approaches, personal photos, etc., under Live Using, LIVE, Space Using, UTHING.
Right.
That's the Facebook page. And why you think? Because you think, and you think from being younger. Because I do believe really strongly that the good health gives you good looks for a long time.
That's amazing. Dr. D, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Extremely interesting topic, like I said. There probably are still some non-believers out there, but maybe if they take the time and take a look at your book, who knows? Maybe we'll convert some more people today.
Yeah, I would love to spend another 3 hours with you this evening, but I have a feeling my husband will say, not another man in another evening. That's enough.
Well, I thank you for the time that you've taken this evening, and I look forward to further conversation with you.
Oh, wonderful. And thank you for hosting me. It was an absolute pleasure, and I seldom have funny conversations like that. Believe me, when patients come in, they just want to be heard. Finally, I have an opportunity to say something.
There you go. Yeah, because traditionally, a doctor is a good listener, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
All
thanks
right.
A lot.
Thanks again.
Have yourself a good night.
Okay.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All the best.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Journey to Success Radio. If you or anyone you know would like to be interviewed for the show, email Tom at tom2tall.com for details.